If you're struggling in your career, business, or life, this podcast is for you. 9/11 survivor Ari Schoenbrunn shares inspiring interviews so you too can rise like a phoenix from the ashes to live your best life. Here's
Welcome
your host,
Whispers and Bricks.
Ari.
My name is Ari Schoenbrunn. I'm your host. Today, I've got Robin Moore as my guest. Now, let me tell you this. If you've ever struggled with negative self-talk or freeing yourself from the comparison trap, Robin Moore is the answer you've been looking for. Robin uniquely empowers women to transform their inner critic into their greatest unstoppable champion so they can flourish in all areas of their life. Having spent many years silently struggling with anxiety, depression, and health issues, Robin created a new and inspiring path to entirely redefine what was possible for her future. Through her incredible journey of perseverance and hope, Robin has powerfully freed herself from 11 medications, rejuvenated her health by losing 70 pounds, and embraced motherhood with the adoption of her son, Jaden. Now, with her innovative coaching methodology, Robin helps Christian women reconnect with their inner joy so they can begin to see the world through a different lens. It is by embracing this incredible perspective shift that Robin's clients are all able to finally create and experience the joy-filled, aligned, and fulfilling life that they deserve. Please help me welcome Robin Moore.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, we're excited to have you. That's amazing. So, how you been? Everything good?
Everything is good. I'm blessed for sure.
That's great. So, as you know, the name of this podcast is Whispers and Bricks. The whispers are those voices telling you what the right thing to do is, and they represent the good in life. The bricks represent the bad things that we go through in life. And let's be real, we all go through bad things at some point in time or another. We all get hit with that brick or bricks. I know my brick, of course, was 9/11, when I was in the towers and I got plucked out of a burning collapsing building, given a second chance. That was a brick thrown at me. Now, you have had several major bricks thrown at you, including anxiety, depression, health issues. At one point, you were on 11 different medications. And on top of everything else, you were, let's call it, a little overweight.
Definitely.
Tell us what was going on in your life when you were getting hit with all these bricks.
Yeah, it kind of started early for me in junior high, which I know a lot of people kind of struggle during that time, especially females. But for me, it was much deeper, right? It was kind of what you referred to, that negative inner self-talk that, you know, I'm not loved, I'm not lovable, I can't do this. Now, on the outside, I was living a whole different life, right? I was valedictorian, most likely to succeed. Like, I had all these things going, but inside, you know, I really was dying. I was suicidal. I was miserable. When college rolled around, actually, it had been enough years that I no longer could hide it. I stuffed and I stuffed and stuffed until I could not stuff anymore. And then it kind of really started coming out. And I went into my first hospital and really kind of let on the misery that I was living in. And so I really just, you know, spent the next years in and out of hospitals and struggling, believing there was an answer, searching for it, but not being able to find, not being able to turn off that inner voice that was going on in my head.
Wow.
You know, you talk about the whisper, you know, and for me, when I think about that, I look back and I think it was when I was in that doctor's office and they gave me a crazy diagnosis and told me it was time to get on prescription number 12. And, you know, at the moment I thought, I walked away discouraged. I thought, you know, that same self-talk. And I remember telling my mom and her coming back and saying, you know, Robin, that is not who you are. That diagnosis is not correct. Right? Like, you need to really think about this. And it was the first time that I started realizing that I could question the voices of others and the voice of myself, right? Those things that I was telling myself. And so that's when I really started really digging into what it was I was telling myself. And was that really serving me? And was that something I wanted to continue to carry on?
Wow. So how old were you at that point in time?
I was about 30 years old, actually.
About 30. Mm-hmm. Okay. So would you say that that's when you like hit rock bottom? Would that be a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think that's very fair. I had been going downhill at that point. There were also some other events in my life that left me feeling, you know, completely alone in a whole deeper way. And yes, I would definitely say that was kind of my rock bottom.
Do you want to share with us maybe some of that, what was going on?
Yeah, sure. I had had a college friend that was my best friend. And I was told a few months before her wedding, I was her maid of honor, that she was kind of sick of my depression. We weren't going to go on this, this trip we had planned to Cancun for our 30th birthday. I was no longer invited to be in her wedding. And like, I needed to move out of the apartment that we shared. And so to me, I looked at that through a lens of, see, everything that I've ever believed about myself was just proven true, right? There's no one left in this world. I mean, that wasn't true, but right, that's the way I saw it. There's no one left in this world. Even my best friend can't stand to be around me. And so that was kind of rock bottom for me.
Wow. It's kind of like, I guess, a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, I know a lot of people go through that. It's, you know, they convince themselves, and then it's a self-fulfilling prophecy that they, you know, I'm not good. And see, I showed you I'm not good. Really? Yeah.
So here's the thing. Every one of our thoughts leads to a feeling. That feeling leads to an action, which leads to a result. And 100% of the time, that result is going to tie back to that thought. So that's where that self-fulfilling prophecy comes. It becomes this loop of creating what we're thinking and what we believe.
Absolutely. So at that point, like, did you say to yourself, you know what? I quit. I'm giving up. I'm giving up on my dreams. You know, this is not happening. And if so, how did you turn that around?
Yeah, I would like to say in that moment, I would say it was probably a couple of years. The funny thing about that is I got a cat during that time to help me out. And that cat is now almost 20 years old and it's still scared of people because I essentially lived almost like a hermit. I had a job, right? But I just secluded myself completely for a couple of years. And then I think it was when I was telling you about when I went to that doctor, right? And they wanted to put me on yet another medication. And I had, which by the way, every medication I got off of, every one of those diseases went away, right? But at this point in life, they were stacked pretty high. You know, lots of health issues, mental issues. And then it was that turning point of realizing, what am I telling myself? And what is that creating in my life? And what do I really believe is true? Maybe not for me, but for everyone else. So let's start there, right? I believe that everyone is lovable, except myself, but that can't be true, right? That's what we do, right? We can see it for everybody else except ourselves. So right. I started identifying what those things were. I started telling myself truth, right? I started repeating it to myself. I started walking things that I didn't feel were true as if they were true. And that's when, you know, things begin to open up for me.
So you must have been working at this point, no?
I worked through all of it. I did.
Wow. How do you put up the facade? You know, you can't walk into work every day, you know, being depressed and, you know, bringing everybody else down. I mean, they will, you know, most companies aren't going to stand for that, but you just...
Yeah. And this was pre, you know, the COVID work from home situation, right?
Right,
this was, this is when we're all in the office. And, you know, and because of my health and all those issues, I never got more than 3 hours of sleep during that time. So I was pretty much a wreck all the way around. But, you know, I learned kind of in those earlier years how to fake that. And so, right, I could fake it for the day. And then I could come home and just crash. That's kind of how I survived.
You know, it's, and I'm going to tell my audience, all right, you think that you're the only one that goes through this. You think to yourself, you know, nobody's going through what I'm going through. And yet I, because of my podcast, I've seen so many people going through exactly what you're going through. I had interviewed a woman who she became an alcoholic at the age of 13 and she was on drugs and all through college. And yet nobody knew. She put on that facade through college and, you know, deep down she was dying. All right. But to the world, she looked, you know, like everything was great. So I get it. I get it where you can actually put on that facade. Don't let people know what's going on. And then, as you said, you go home and you crash. You know, depending upon what your thing is, whether it's drugs, whether it's alcohol, you know, whatever it is. And then, as you said, you know, you get 3 hours of sleep and you go back the next day and you start all over again. Ultimately, it does catch up with you. That we know.
Mm-hmm. For sure. It really does. You know, and that timeline is a little different for everybody, right? Some can fake it a little bit longer, but it ultimately will come to a head for everybody at some point. I believe that.
No, I agree. I agree with you 100%. And that's when, you know, but so many people are afraid to get help. And I think they're afraid because of the stigma attached, you know, and that is really, really sad. And that's another reason why I bring on the types of guests that I bring on, to let people know you can't think of it as a stigma. It's, you know, if you have acne, right? It's not a stigma. You go to the doctor to take care of the acne. All right. If you're sick, if you have a fever, you go to the doctor to take care of these things. All right. It's nothing more than a disease. Yeah. Okay.
Well, and the thing too, to remember, right, it has a compound effect, right? Like, so the earlier you face it, right, and realize that and get help, right, the less of a compound effect, because it just keeps rolling and just keeps growing and growing until you realize, like you said, there's no stigma. You reach out for help. We all need help. We need it in all different forms and shapes and sizes, and that's okay. But if we don't ask for it oftentimes, right, we don't receive it. So right. you have to ask for it.
100%. Let me ask you this. Who is the one person that you can point to that you would say had the most influence on your life, and why? I mean, and I'm talking about good and bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, 100%. And the good would be my mom. So yeah, my mom, she lives a couple of blocks from us. She moved here after I adopted my son. But she, you know, they're in so many ways. So I saw her growing up. She's not the woman that I know now when I was growing up, right? And so I've seen that change in her, and I've seen how far she's come. And that has given me inspiration to do the same for others and you know, for myself and now for others. And so I watch her heart and her love and her compassion and her care. And she's always thriving to grow and be better. And I think those are all wonderful attributes.
And just to let you in on a little secret, your answer is the same answer as 80 to 90% of the people that I have on my show. Mm-hmm. It's always, who is the most person? It's 80 to 90% of the time, it is my mom, wow. My mother, my mom. All right. So moms play a huge role in this, mm-hmm. whether they think they do or they don't. Sometimes, you know, sometimes what I've seen is that a child will push a mother away, not understanding or realizing that the mom only wants the best for her child, but the child just doesn't understand that. And, you know, there's a very famous analogy where, somebody once said, you know, when I was, 17, you know, my parents were the dumbest people on the face of the planet. Right. Yet by the time I turned 23, they had gotten so smart.
Right. It's funny how that happens, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So where do you live now?
I live in the Dallas, Texas area.
Oh, very nice. Now, you mentioned are you married?
I'm not. I'm single.
You're single, and you're a single mom, because I know we talked about you adopted.
That's correct.
Yes. All right. And and what are you doing now?
Yeah, so I am doing, I started a life coaching business a few years ago. I'm very excited about that. My friends tell me that I've been doing it my whole life. So it's great to actually, start doing that as a profession and reaching out to people and helping more people, you know, getting my story out there. And, you know, I think it's helpful for a lot of people to reach out to someone that has walked a similar path. Right. Because there's more credibility. This is not something that I learned, you know, through books or, you know, I do have a certification. I did that as well. But it's life experiences that I really believe make us the expert in these areas.
Oh, I mean, I agree with you 100%. I mean, I'm no genius. Trust me. All right. But I have the experience of living through 9/11, and that has, you know, left an indelible mark on me, and it has helped me to help others as well. So, you know, that's really great. You know, coaching, it is a wonderful profession because you get to help people, and most people that go into coaching do it because they want to help people.
Right.
It's got, you know, I don't know how many people actually make a good living in coaching.
Right.
I would imagine that it's not that big an audience, but the satisfaction that people get out of it sometimes outweighs the monetary aspect of it. Mm-hmm. Robin, let me ask you this. If people want to get in touch with you, whether they're looking for coaching or they're looking for guidance, they're looking for advice, they're just looking for somebody to talk to, what's the best way for people to reach you?
Yeah, my website is the best way. It's called robinmoorecoaching.com, and that's Robin with a Y. So it's R-O-B-Y-N-M-O-O-R-E.
Robinmoorecoaching.com? Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
Very good. And you have that's your website, and there's a lot of stuff on there that people can go to and figure out how to get in touch with you, et cetera, right?
There is. They can learn more about me, figure out how to get in touch with me, have some tips and tricks, and even a free video that they can go, you know, take a look about really letting go of those unchallenged fear-based thinking, right? So they can create that space for peace and contentment. So yeah, lots of information and ways to reach out to me.
Wow, that's great. Okay, so that's Robin Moore. RobinMoreCoaching.com. If you need help, if you just want to talk to somebody, all right, and maybe you're realizing that at this point in time, you know, you really do need that help. Reach out to Robin; she's really great. She's helped so many people, including herself. And Robin, thanks so much for sharing your story with my audience. I mean, good luck going forward. You've been listening to Whispers and Bricks, and I'm your host, Ari Shoman. Until next time, listen to the whispers, avoid the bricks, and never, ever give up on your dreams. Bye for now.
So that's it for today's episode of Whispers and Bricks. Head on over to iTunes and subscribe to the show. One lucky listener every single week that posts a review on iTunes will win a chance in the grand prize drawing to win a $25,000 private VIP day with Ari himself. Be sure to head on over to whispersandbrickspodcast.com and pick up a free copy of Ari's gift and join us on the next episode.